Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I was so glad to be here with all of you. I'm looking forward to know all of you as well. So without further ado, I just want to let you know that I have a lovely wife that married to this crazy man for 48 years. Jen, would you stand up so some people can see you? We met in Taiwan 55 years ago. I was looking for someone to practice English, to learn English, and here was my wife. And so I've known her for 50 years. We married for 48 years. She was in the Taipei American School at that time and was in the Chinese Taiwanese school. So anyway, we got met. So we had a great time together. We're looking forward to it. On the way over here, my wife was teasing me. You know, we tease each other all the time. She said this. She said, "No, you know, I love you because I have to, but I really don't like you." So anyway, you know, we tease each other all the time. We got to change to this. Do you want me to change this? Is that what it is? Okay. So the other one is not good. Okay. All right. I'm so fully equipped. I got everything on me. You know, I used to work in the restricted countries. I have nothing on me. I don't mean literally nothing, but I don't have any equipment and all that. But now I got all the equipment. I got here. I got here. I got my hearing aid. I got everything here. So help me, God. So today is going to be very interesting. My biggest challenge is time, because I used to teach in all these countries that give me ample time. I teach 5 days a week and 10 hours a day. That's kind of a teaching I do. So I have to readjust to this culture when I teach 25 minutes a day, especially in America, and they go to the football game for 5 hours. Make no sense. But anyway, so I'm trying to adjust to 25 minutes, so help me, God. This thing, I just want to let you know that's very simple. Today, we're going to talk about the third one, the doctrine of Jesus. Doctrine of Jesus. Now, I talked to Pastor Bruce. I said, "Do I have to go to the opening prayers and go into the statements and all that?" He said, "You really don't have to, because people have the manual. They can look at all that to save your time." So I want to go right into it. And I want to give you a chart so at least you can see at the very beginning of it. And that chart will actually show you exactly what we're going to talk about. It's good to give a clear picture before we start it. Okay? So that is the picture that you are seeing right now. In fact, I don't even have a PowerPoint with me. So I'm going to look at this. See, here are the five things. This is how I learn. I'm a very simple man. I can't remember everything, so I like to do it very simply. First of all, what is the doctrine of Jesus? Five. Number one, he's fully God. Number two, he's a fully man. Number three, he is sinless. Number four, he died for you and me. Number five, he rose again on the third day. That's all you have to remember. When people ask you, "Can you tell me about the doctrine of Jesus?" There you go. Any one of this has to be interlocked with each other. One cannot do without the other. You got to be fully God to have the power to save. You got to have the fully man in order to substitute our sin. You got to be sinless so that you can pay that price. And you have to really demonstrate you are locked in jail to replace me. You have to die on the cross. Then finally, because you're God, you are going to rise again. All religions, the only one, we're not talking about this religion, we're talking about relationship. But all religions have one thing in common. Muhammad died still in the tomb. Buddha died still in the tomb. Confucius died still in the tomb. But Jesus died and he rose again. Can somebody give God the glory? Hallelujah. That's what really excites me. What it really excites me to see that he rose again. And you go to Jerusalem, you go to that place, and you see the empty tomb. My mother just passed away not too long ago, and she lived 100 years old. And the whole time she lived in that 100 year, she has never, somebody competing with me, that's great, okay. She lives 100 years old, and she doesn't believe, now I'm not saying this religiously or legalistically, but this is just her conviction. She doesn't believe doctors, so she doesn't go to the doctor. She doesn't take any pills. So no pills, no doctor, and she lived similarly, and when she died, she just fell into sleep. Now, anybody want to go that way, raise your hands. Okay, I do. I'm 73, so I still have 27 years to go. If my goal is 100, hallelujah. Somebody said, no, you're going to be 120. So anyway, this is so much fun to see that there is a part of you that gives you hope. That is that resurrection is part of your life. You got the power of the resurrection. Someday you're going to have a glorified body. I'm going to be with my mom again. We're going to be with all the future, all the people who passed away. We're going to be together again. We're going to be worshiping day in, day out. We're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I tell you, I'm so excited. Well, when you get to my age, more thinking about afterlife. So anyway, I want to go right into this. Let's just begin to think about Jesus is fully God. Now, we all know there's a lot of teaching material here, obviously, I cannot cover, but I just want to keep it very simple. John 1:14 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, so therefore, here we go. There's some scriptures to back it up, and just too quickly, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Colossians 2:9. There you go. That's why when you're in Jesus, you are in the fullness, because the fullness is in him. Now, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Hebrews 1:8. For by him all things were created in heaven and on the earth. Colossians 1:16. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. So every one of the scriptures, I can go on and on to really to tell you Jesus is God. I want to just spend a little bit of time to tell you the story. I'm a storyteller. This is a story from the Bible, of course. Matthew chapter 14 and Mark 4. These two scriptures talk about, in Mark 4, Jesus was with the disciples, and they were out into the sea, and a storm began to come. Now, before we go that far, let me just give you 1 minute. In a restricted country, I say I will give you 1 hour, but here's 1 minute. Let's give you the background. Background 1 minute is this. At the time, the disciples were really, really happy with Jesus. They were in Capernaum, which you call Cabernon. Capernaum is the places where they have the rabbi and the disciples. And they were learning and they were studying. They were like a Harvard University today. So they were learning everything from Jesus. And they saw Jesus doing the miracle, cast out the demons right in the synagogue. So they were so happy, said, Jesus, I want to be with you. But Jesus knew everything they received is for them to live out. So Jesus started hinting them. He said, hey, we're going to leave here. Even though I did all the miracles, they did about 10 miracles in Capernaum. I'm going to leave Capernaum. I'm going to take you on a trip called field trip. We got to get on the boat and we're going to go to the other side. Now, where is the other side? If you look at the Galilee map in the north, you look more towards the east. There's a place called Decapolis. How many people heard about Decapolis? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. So Decapolis is the place where they have heathens, pagans. They worship God. They worship their own God. They have adultery. They have idolatry. They have everything. They have a murder there. So that's the place that Jews don't want to associate with. Long story short, that's exactly the places where God, Jesus wanted them to go. He said, let's go to the other side. And the disciples know where he was leading him, leading them. And they don't really reluctant. And Jesus took them on the boat. You know, it's very interesting. Every time you get on the boat with Jesus, always somehow have a storm. So they got on the boat reluctantly because they were going that direction. And guess what? They were on the boat. Jesus knew they were going to Decapolis. Jesus knew they're going to go to this very evil place. But Jesus went down to the boat, had a cushion, and he fell asleep. Imagine that. Look at the condition. The disciples were so nervous because the storm comes and the boat was rocking. And Jesus, he was down there sleeping. I don't think Jesus, even though he was human, I don't think he snored like me. But anyway, so at that moment, they were so nervous. They come and say, Jesus, Jesus, wake him up. Don't you care? We're going to drown. Don't you care? Jesus, what's going on? Oh, see, the boat was rocking. And so Jesus come up to the boat. Jesus, peace! Be still! All of a sudden, the wind died down and the sea becomes calm. All of a sudden, everything went back to where it was supposed to be. At that moment, the disciple, even though they were with Jesus for a long time, they have never, ever seen. He hushed the wind. He calmed the sea. He said, who is this man? Who is this man? That raised the curiosities. Beloved, can I say something to you? You will never be able to experience the power of God, the mighty power of demonstration from God, unless we are able to get, unless we are willing to get on the boat with him. Unless we're saying we're going to head towards the storm. But Jesus is on my boat. Listen, I want to encourage you today. I've been on this journey with Jesus for 55 years. I want you to know that we're heading towards the storm, seems like all the time. But the more I'm heading towards the storm, the more I'm convinced Jesus is on my boat. And I put him to sleep now. But anyway, he was just resting with a cushion. He's just waiting for me to cry out to him, Jesus, are you going to see me drown? And Jesus, hush, and a calm the wind and the sea, and everything is back to normal. You see, that's when your faith gets strengthened every single time. A lot of us is, we don't want the storm. Yeah, you don't want Jesus either, because he is on your boat. So here's the situation. Erase the opportunity for you to be encountered with a mighty and demonstration of a mighty power of God if you are willing to be on the boat with Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And while they were on the boat with him, they have to come to the point, even though we've been with Jesus for a long time, they have to come to the point, they have to begin to discover the real Jesus. Who is this man? Who is Samuel? Who is Christine? Many times we need to discover who Jesus was. So therefore, this happened and Jesus demonstrated it, raised the curiosity. So far, if you're still following me, raise your hands. Let me give you another story. How about Matthew 14? Matthew 14 is another boat ride. Matthew 14 is where Jesus was up in the mountain and praying and sent his disciple. He said, go to the other side. Here we go, another the other side. I hate to go to that the other side. That's a sin city. I don't want to go to the other side. I want to stay in Capernaum. It's a wonderful, it's comfortable, it's cozy. It's like here. But Jesus said, go to the other side. But this time, I'm not going to even go with you. You go your own. Wow. The testing is on. They got on the boat in the middle of the night, about 4 a.m. Jesus was praying with his father the whole time on the mountain. All of a sudden, he come down. And Jesus come down come to their boat. Jesus just walked on water. Hi, guys. Good to see you. All of a sudden, oh, is that a ghost? Is that a ghost? They were so scared to see Jesus being there. They said, what is this? Who is this? All of a sudden, said, that may be our... He's, then all of a sudden, he said, don't be afraid. This is me. I'm Jesus. I'm your rabbi. I'm your teacher. And Peter says, Jesus, is that you? Is that you? He said, yes, I am. This is what Peter said. Jesus, if that you, I want to be with you. He just stopped coming down and walked towards Jesus. He didn't realize he was walking on water. Miracle would never happen until you fix your eyes on Jesus. Wow. You go where he was. I can still do a lot of demonstration body language, even though it's very narrow. It's worse than the sea here. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So anyway, Tim, thank you. You're such a good MC. Yeah. So anyway, here he walked on that. Now that's not the, you can develop so many sermons out of this story. So this is not my main point. The thing is, all of a sudden, they saw someone can walk on the water. I want to let you know, here's the point I want to try to make. Hopefully you will get it. Jesus didn't come to authenticate the Bible. It is the Bible authenticate Jesus. Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, everything Jesus quote is all out of the Bible somewhere. If you don't believe it, let's find out. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Job chapter 9, verse 7 and 9. I may have that on this. I don't know. Please follow me on this. Job, in Old Testament, chapter 9, verse 7 and 8 says, how can a mortal be righteous before God? He stretches out of heaven. He performs wonders and cannot be fathomed. He shakes the earth from his place, and he walks on the waves of the sea. Wow. Now that's Old Testament. That's before Jesus, quote unquote, was born. So what is he referring to? Referring to God. You see, God walked on the waves of the sea. That's why these people, all of a sudden, who is this man? Let's take another look. Psalm chapter 107, verse 23 to 30. Psalm 107, 23 to 30 says this. They cry out to the Lord in the trouble. They brought them out of their distress. Now he says, he stilled the storm to a whisper, and he has the waves of the sea to silence. Who actually silence the waves? Whoever actually stilled the storm? That was God. That was Yahweh. That's the reason why the first one, when they saw his silence, says, who is this man? And then when he saw him walk on the water, he says, we better do one thing. He is truly God. Matthew 14 says, they began to get down on their knees. They began to worship him. Beloved, I want to encourage you today. I'm so excited even sharing about this. That gives me goosebumps. It is for you to be with Jesus to encounter the storm. It is for you to be encountered with storm with Jesus when you see him demonstrate the miracle. It is when you become to encounter with the miracle with Jesus and remember the word that you used to read. All of a sudden, everything fell into place. We talked about last week, the doctrine of the scripture. When all of a sudden, that makes sense. That's what I just read. And that's what he just did. Jesus become more and more real to you as God as you walk in the journey with him. So this is something I want to let you know. There's so much to prove Jesus is God. But I want to let you know today, we are in the same boat. My wife and I, we worked in the communist country or the restricted country for almost 40 years. And I have gone through a lot in this last 40 years. But I feel I was on the boat with Jesus. I feel the more I walk with him, the more he is real to me. Let's go to the second one. We're going to go quickly on the second and third. Jesus is fully human, or Jesus is fully man. We see Philippians 2, 6, 9. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. You know, this is one of my favorite scripture. A couple of things mentioned about here. He didn't consider equal with God as something to be grasped. He has every right to always, if I was Jesus on the earth, I would just slip my tongue sometimes. I say, you know what? It is for you I come down. I really don't need to come down to see you. You know, now I enjoy my heaven very much. You know, I got all the power, all the authority up there. I'm putting up with you long enough. And you know what? If you do this one more again, I'm going back. Of course, you're not me. You're a lot more spiritual than me. So anyway, so this situation where he did that, he emptied himself. He didn't lose that equality. He just chose not to enjoy that equality. What does that mean? He never lost the divine nature. He just chose to lose or to give at that moment his privilege. You know, one time I want to share this with you. I was on the trip to somewhere. My wife and I both on the trip on that airplane, and I got upgraded to business class. And I wanted my wife to be upgraded as well. But for some reason, it didn't work out. So when it didn't work out, I just felt that, Jan, why don't you come to my place? I'll go to your place. I sit in the economy, you sit in the business. She absolutely refused. She said, honey, you deserved the business. I'll sit in the economy. I said, I wouldn't enjoy the business if you're sitting in the economy. I would enjoy better if I sit in the economy and you do the business. So we were actually fighting who's supposed to be sitting in the business. Because I want to give up my privilege so that I can be with Jan. Does that mean I'm lesser to be qualified to sit on that business trip? To be a 1 million miler from the United Airlines? No, I got every right, I got every qualification, but I just choose to be in the lower class with Jen called the economy. Somebody probably mad at me already. He said, who are you, a missionary or what? Anyway, so I got upgraded. Anyway, long story short, eventually I told the story to the flight attendants, the leader, and she was so moved by it. Women are a lot more moved than men. Men just, I'm so sorry. The women was just like, oh, crying. How long have you been married? I said, 45 years. 45 years. Let me do something for you. Just wait. And she went somewhere to do that. She talked. And she came back and said, you know what? I'm going to upgrade your wife to business sitting next to you. Whoa. But one thing, she cannot enjoy the business class food. And my wife said, no problem. I don't eat that much anyway. So she came out. And the whole trip, she sat next to me. Can we give God the glory? You see, that is the choosing. That is the selection. That is the choice. That is the decision Jesus made. Jesus had every right to be in the, quote, the business class. But he decided to be the economy with us. Now, I'm a simple man. I got to use this analogy to understand. So, well, I want to let you know, Jesus is a fully human being or fully man. He chose two things. He chose a form of a servant. And he was born in the likeness of man. Likeness of a man so that he can relate to us. If he born to be a chimpanzee, right? If he was born to be a chimpanzee, he can't relate to me. I can't relate to him. Got to be born a human so I can relate to him. When I suffer, when I get discouraged, when people scold at me, when people really reject me or betrayal, I always look at Jesus. Jesus did even far more than I did. So something you can, it's relatable. Now, he was in the form of a servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So listen, I set the course for my life to be a servant. A servant has two things called action verb, giving and serving. He said, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. So if your ministry, you want to set the right GPS, you don't have to worry what you do. You just come to any church, just, Pastor, I'm coming here to serve and to give. Wow. He may not hear the hearing part, the serving part, but hear the giving part, right? So therefore, you want to make sure you have that attitude wherever you go, all over the world right now, that we're serving God. So here he's a fully human or fully man. Now we have a lot of proof that he's all that. But let's just go to the next one real quick. Jesus is sinless. Boy, that's a good one. Because I would have absolutely no desire to be hanging out with another person who's just as sinful as I am. Don't get me wrong. I will, because I want to reach out to him with love. We reach out to him for his soul. Yes, I do. But in the natural, people are a tendency of people is to draw somebody who is better than they are. I'm talking about virtue. I'm talking about finances. I'm just talking about somebody. I like to hang out with Sam because Sam is more holy than me. He's more dedicated than me. He's more loyal than me. He's more faithful than me. I love to hang out with him. You see, you are drawn to people who are more Christ-like. And so Jesus, he actually is sinless. So when I come to Jesus, I'm always at the end of the stick. I'm sinful, but he's sinless. Guess what? If I hang around with him long enough, my sinfulness perhaps just become a sinless.
Wow.
I may not follow the PPT because I can't with the half an hour. Anyway. You wanted the whole thing, give me 2 hours, I'll do the whole thing for you. Anyway, so he actually sinless. Okay. Number four, I gotta watch my time. Jesus died for our sins. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 is a scripture that I constantly remind myself. The minute my pride starts poking up, when I see I'm more spiritual than somebody else, when I see more righteous than somebody else, it's called self-righteousness. When I see I'm better than somebody else, look at it, I'm more committed than you are. Look at it, I'm giving more than you give. Look at it, I'm more devoted than you are. Look, I can quote scripture better than you can. Look at my marriage is better than you are. The minute you begin to have your pride start coming out, cut off that head. Why? Because while you were still sinners, while I'm still sinners, he died for me. I can never earn my righteousness. It's about grace. So when people compliment you, say, wow, I wish I could be spiritual like you. I said, I was just as a sinner as you when I got saved. We're all growing together in grace. So here we are. Jesus is the one that died for our sins. Now, there's a couple of things over here that is very important. There's a four things. Again, we use the theological term. We call that four things are P-R-R-R. Well, you got it. I understand that you know the Bible very well. P stands for propitiation. Is that over here? Very good. I'm so proud of our people working in the back. Okay, you can take a shot if you want. Not at me, but I'm talking about this. Okay, propitiation. He bore God's wrath. Then reconciliation restored our relationship. Then redemption purchased us from slavery. Then regeneration made us new. I remember by P-R-R-R. Propitiation is when God's wrath is supposed to be laying on you and on me. That's when Jesus come before me, says, Father, Father, forgive them. They did not know what to do. Put the wrath on me. I take their wrath. I take their punishment. I will become their sin so they can become my righteousness. So at that moment before he swallowed the last breath, he says, forgive them, God. Forgive them, Father, because they do not know what they did. See, that's propitiation. Propitiation is basically, he stepped out there and said, let me be that lamb. Let me be the one to be sacrificed. You know, at the moment the Passover, the two things took place. One is the Jews were going through the Passover. They have to have two goats. One is they have to slain, they have to blameless. One has to slain at that moment to sacrifice. The other goats they have to send out to the forest. Why did they send the other goat to the forest? And the goat goes to the forest simplifies that the sin has gone so far away into the forest, they couldn't even see their sin. That was symbolic. That's why those two goats. Now, at the time when they were sacrificed, that one animal in this temple, outside of the city, a place called Golgotha, Calvary, there was another lamb was slain. That lamb was slain for you and for me, for our sin. It took place at the same time, approximately 3 p.m. Okay, I don't know what happened. I'm too excited. And this come out. Anyway, I have the microphone, so let me see if I can get this out. Okay. So, anyway, at the time when they blow the horn, pretty good, huh? Three horns. After that, that animal was sacrificed. At that very moment, Jesus swallowed the last breath. Wow. I don't know about you. If that is not love, I don't know what that is. If that's not a sacrifice, I don't know what that is. That's where we established the covenant with him because of that. Because it was his blood that I am saved. I want to let you know, at that moment, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. At that very moment, he released the power of forgiveness as a result of the power of love. I want to share with you a quick story. In South Africa, during the apartheid, when the white man ruled at that time, and during that time, they basically took all these tribes and these people in South Africans, and they go into their homes and all that. They have done a lot of things because during that time was Dutch rule. So that's why they have Dutch reform. A lot of them were basically settlers and they were in South Africa. Now this is a true story. So what happened is the police, the sergeant in one of the towns, they would go in and they would come in to arrest the man of the house. And so they took the father, the husband, and they took him out and they put him on the tires. And they put in the tire, this little bit of gruesome, I'm going to just keep a really small sound. And they burn him. In front of their wife and their children. Just in front of their wife and children. Literally lit it and let them be burned. And that was not the end of it. They come back a few years later and they took the son. They took the son and repeat the same thing. The wife and the daughter to watch it. When the apartheid was over, when it comes to the point they have this reconciliation committee, they decided during that time that they would bring, rather than feud, like continue to fight against each other, they would give the opportunity for these people who were abused, who were being tortured, to come to sit on this chair to ask these people who tortured them, did all this atrocity, to come in front of them to tell them exactly what they did to their loved family. Here was the elderly lady, probably in her 70s. She sat there. She listened to this police officer, the sergeant, to describe how the group of people, they did that based on the order they received. As they were talking about this, he went into the details. Of course, at the end, it would depend on the receiver, the one who has been abused, will either say, well, I forgive or I don't forgive. That's a reconciliation committee will make the decision. So here was the elderly lady. At that moment, she listened to the whole thing. This is what she said to this man. She said, I heard everything you said. All the details. She said, I want to tell you three things. Number one, I choose to forgive you. It reminds me, Charlie Kirk's wife. Number two, she said, I would desire if you can let me have the remain so I can have a proper burial for them. Number three, she said, I have such a love. I have a mother's love. I'm full of mother's love, but I never had an opportunity to use that mother's love to my own son. She said, would you consider to become my son? Would you consider to come to my place just once a week and let me love you the way I would have loved my own son? That sergeant, the minute he heard that, he passed out. He fainted. He couldn't believe there's such a power of forgiveness. You see, Jesus at that moment when he said, forgive them, they did not know what to do. Jesus at that moment took the yoke upon himself. Then he said in Matthew 11, says, take my yoke, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. This elderly African lady chose to partake Jesus' yoke because he believed Jesus. He took upon that yoke that is impossible in the human mind can comprehend, can understand, but nevertheless, she did. At that moment, just when she made that decision, Jesus empowered her. Just like he calmed the storm, he hushed the wind, he calmed the sea. He empowered that lady at that moment to have released such a power of forgiveness that mankind could never, ever understand. That's why he said, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. I've been betrayed in the country, communist country, by one of my closest allies and put me into jail. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But I was interrogated by 10 police officers. And they were screaming at me. It's, I don't care where you're from. If you commit a crime, you go to jail. And not only you go to jail, we can make you disappear. 10 of them taking turns to interrogate me day and night. They use sleep deprivation and food deprivation to wear me down so I can spill out the beans. I can say something negative about the person who reported me so they can arrest the other person as well. But at the very, very end, the movie, The Passion of Christ, has so much impact on me. So I just stand a moment and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? I didn't know what to say. At the end, they come to me very nicely. The sergeant says, he said, hey, you look like you are a pretty smart man. You look like you are well-educated. You don't know that he made a fool out of you. He squandered you. He took all your money, and he turned against you, and he wanted to put you to jail. Do you realize how evil he was? He was trying to provoke me so I can be eyes for a tithe and tooth for a tooth. But at the end, I said one thing. I said, sir, He said, I don't understand why you did this to him. And I said, sir, I did it because I love him. It's not because I love him only. It's I know who's the one that loved me while I was still sinners. This is what I really feel. I want to let you know that the power of the cross, Jesus died for our sins. Last not but the least, Jesus rose from the dead. Without Jesus rise up in from the dead, we would never ever have hope. We would believe in religious God, not the true God. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 is a wonderful scripture. It says, for I deliver to you as of first importance that I also received, Paul said, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. So he died, he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day. The resurrection equal to proof a victory over death. The fact that my mother passed away is not a time to not necessarily just weep, even though weeping for a day, weeping for a moment. But there is a joy coming in the morning. I know where my mother is right now. I know she's looking down, say, son, I'm proud of you. You're standing here sharing the word that you received from the Lord. I know that someday I will be with her. I know there's a glorified body. I know Jesus will be coming back. You see, the whole thing about resurrection is to give us hope to live victoriously today. That's why I love this church. I love people that are coming to really receive the word. It is so important that we understand. Resurrection is make us or mark us different from any other religions, even though we're not a religion. But people view us as religion. We're in relationship. I'm proud of all of you today. I want to thank you, God, that Pastor Bruce gave me the opportunity to share with you, even though I don't feel I deserve it. Half of the time I'm not here, although I'm serving another Every Nation Church. But I love all of you. I want you to know I'm proud of you being part of this church and being really to be servants of God, serving all the people here. I hope this message will help you. At the end, this resurrection gave me three powerful words. Now, these are probably developed by the Latin words, so they are kind of big words. Some people don't like to use them, but I'm using them just simply to help you remember three important word that helped me to remember. Resurrection brings us three things you can see through that. Number one, the word is justification. We were justified by the death of Jesus Christ. The second word is sanctification. That's the beginning of our day. We begin to want to be sanctified every day because I'm sinful standing next to somebody who's sinless. I want to be sinless just like him. So the sanctification took place the minute I received Jesus Christ. Wow. Then that's not the end of it. There's a third word called glorification. Someday he's coming back. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be with him. We're going to reign and rule with him. So if you remember resurrection, remember three words. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. I want to end with this story. There's a one school, boarding school. There's a one student was just so rebellious, so hard to deal with. Every teacher tried, failed. They have absolutely no more methods how to help this young man. He was just so rebellious. Okay. Hallelujah. That one is over now? Okay, I don't know. Okay, very good. Hallelujah. It's easier to preach than to handle the microphone, you know. So anyway. So nobody knows what to do. And so the principal of the school comes trying to work with him. But principle has also exhausted with all the methods. There's nothing worked with this man. Even the principal have worked for 30, 35 years in the school. He was standing there, he was scratching his head. He said, what do I do with him? I don't want to just expel him. He said, God, is there any way I can help him? All of a sudden, the Lord spoke to him. You want to know what it is? Sam, do you want to know? Okay, all right. I know at least one person is listening. So this is what he did. He came to this man. He's a young man. Just use this word as a fictitious word. It's not a real name. He's a young man. He's a Ryan. He said, I have a thing I want to ask you. But I need you to cooperate with me. I need you to help me. The young man Ryan says, what is it? The young man knows he was radical. He was the rebellious one. He's the one that everybody didn't know what to do with him, scratch their heads and all that. But everybody contemplating giving up with him. So this principal says, this is what I need you to help me. He said, would you consider come and live with me? As a matter of fact, not only would I ask you to come live with me, would you consider change your name and use my last name, Johnson? And the reason why I want you to change name, because this principle was reputable. This principle is really got integrity, everything, respect, honor from everybody. He said, you use my name, Johnson. And if you ever get yourself in trouble, you just tell them my last name is Johnson. I'm Johnson's family. I will take all the blame. I will take all the punishment. I'm willing to risk my fame, my reputation. But I want you to give me an opportunity to love you like my son. Let me tell you something. If you were Ryan, you received this, does that mean that you were immediately after 24 hours, you changed completely into another person, wonderful, behaved, holy, and righteous? No. You were just justified. You were welcomed into the house. Now you are the children of this father. You were justified. In the future, you apply everything, you use his name. Get a driver's license. This is Johnson's family. You were justified. But I know you may not change right away. But if you were Ryan, you would be thinking, I want to change. I want to change. Because I couldn't imagine somebody would accept me. I wouldn't even accept myself. I failed so many times, disappointed so many people. I even hate myself. But yet this man take everything blame on himself to receive me as a son. Living in house, eating everything in the refrigerator, have the money to spend, have a comfortable bed to sleep. If Ryan was not changing that day, Ryan will be in the process of changing. That's called sanctification. Beloved, as I end this message, doctrines of Jesus. I want you to know I have every heart to say to God, God, I am that Ryan. I am that Ryan. I don't deserve to be in your family. I don't deserve to be your son. But you receive me. You say today you no longer experience the spirit of a slavery. But you receive the spirit of a son whereby you can call me Abba, Father. I want that to be my sanctification. I'm always looking for what can I do more to be more like him. I want to love my wife the way I have never ever loved her before. I want to love the people in the church the way I have never ever loved them before. I want to love my immediate family, my in-laws, the way I have never, ever loved. Sometimes in-laws are a little bit different, but anyway. But you would do everything you can to say, God, you give me the grace I don't deserve. You love me, accept me the way I don't, I'm not even qualified to receive. But yet, I've been justified, I've been sanctified, and I will be on my way to the glorification. Let's bow our head and pray. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you and thank you for this morning. God, I know that you are so gracious to even give us an opportunity to share from the pulpit, from our heart. We know that there's so much we're here to learn. So much here we can be changed. So much here we can grow in the Lord. Father, we pray, oh God, today we have brothers and sisters are sitting here. Perhaps they're going through a difficult time in their life. Perhaps they're just going through a time they say, well, I just can't forgive that person. If at that moment you just say, every time I think of that person, just anger just start rise up within me. Father, help us to encounter the power of forgiveness on that cross when Jesus died. Before he died, he said, Father, Father, forgive them. Because they did not know what they did. Father, release our love in such a way that let us see, God, you not only love us, but accepted us the way we are. You welcome us into your family, even though we have not changed. You allow us to carry your name in the name of Jesus. You give us every abundant thing in our life when we don't deserve it. Father, we don't live in our own ways. We want to be coming to you and say, God, embrace me. Change me. I want to live your way. I want to follow your way. I want to be more like you. I want to really, truly live out what is really supposed to be in this family. God, speak to me this morning. If those of you today, you feel you are on the crossroad right now. Maybe you have crisis at this moment that nobody else knows, but God is there. And God is saying to you, you know what? I'm going to take upon this yoke. I put that on my shoulder. I'm going to carry you like a wings, like an eagle. I will protect you. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. Take my burden. My burden is light. Today, if you are on that crossroad, whether it's marriage, whether it's any kind of relationship struggle, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's just kind of lost, just standing on the crossroad, have no direction where you go, or you just have a hard time to forgive. Maybe some of you even encounter with some disease and illnesses. God's reaching out to you at this moment. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's Jesus has done the cross so you can have life. If any one of you here today, you said, I've never received Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, but I'm willing to at this moment to receive him. I want to change my life. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I know that he can make me a new creature. Old things passed away. Old things has become new. If you say, Lord, I don't know you, but I want to know you. How about every head bowed and those who have never received Jesus Christ, just lift up your head and look at me so I can see where you are. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? You just can look at me. Just say, you're talking to me. I'm the one that needs to change. I'm the one that I found the fountain. It is a true life. It's the life I want to live. Those of you who really lift up your eyes and you look at me and give me the eye contact, I want you to know that this church, this family, they love you. They want to reach out to you. Don't leave without making contact here. Get some literature, give them the information, and let them help you. I'm here, I'm proud of Pastor Bruce and Terry and all the leadership here. I want you to know that we are honored to be part of the team. Let's give God the glory for what he has done this morning. Amen. Let's clap our hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.